for your story of David and Goliath. Hale lost his orange. Oh, Caitlin, can you advance a slide for me, please? This morning we continue in our series in the book of Genesis, chapter 8. And this morning the title of the message is Go Out from the Ark is Noah's Command. And that's what I'm going to read this morning. It's a shorter text this morning. And we're going to dive into that. So if you'd read, follow along with me from your Bible in the pew this morning, Genesis chapter 8, beginning at verse 15 to the end of the chapter, verse 22. And here's what the word of the Lord says to us this morning. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives and all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." The word of the Lord. You know, if I could add one thing today, I would also say wind. Right? Yeah. But the Lord is good. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks today for your word, that we can learn and grow from it in our faith. Lord, this is our manual of life, of how to live in this world. And so, Lord, may we learn and grow again by your Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us your ways. May these words be yours, never mine. And I pray that you fill me, along with those that have gathered here in your house this morning, those that are watching us online. Lord, may your Spirit overcome us today in a new way. In Jesus I pray, amen. I would like to introduce you to, Caitlin, can you jump one slide for me, please? Three kinds of people in the world that I want to talk about this morning. And by the end of this message, you'll understand a fourth kind of people. But here they are. There are rowboat people, there are sailboat people, and there are steamboat people. Now let me explain these to you, what this looks like this morning. Rowboat people need to be pushed or shoved along. Sailboat people, they move when a favorable wind is blowing and they kind of go with the crowd. Steamboat people move continuously through calm or storm. They are masters of themselves, their surroundings, and they think even their fate. So let me ask you a question this morning. In your spiritual life, do you always have to be pushed along or only moved when the next best fad comes along? Or is your course set and nothing will stop you from moving forward in your own thinking or course of action that you take in your life? That's the things I want you to ponder this morning in this message. I want you to consider, what kind of boat person am I? So let me share with you this morning the story of Noah. What kind of a boat person was he after being on the ark for a year? Caitlin, next slide, please. And so we begin in the book of Genesis, verse 15, chapter 8. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you." So we know that somewhere God spoke to Noah. We don't know how. It could have been in a dream. It could have been verbally that he gained this knowledge from God. But he was commanded to leave the ark. And so Noah, the good Lord gave Noah instruction that it's time to leave. It's time to go. And so verse 16 says it well. To do this, bring out with you every living thing and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth once again. God is going to bless them. And so can you imagine when the door opened on the ark and Noah looked out, right? He peeked out the window already, seen that it was dry ground, and then he waited 7 days, and then finally God said, Noah, you need to go now. The door opens up, and you can imagine standing in the threshold of what he would have seen after the devastation of the flood. Now, we know that there's some greenery coming back of some kind, and things are starting to grow again because the dove returneth an olive leaf in its mouth. But here's what I want you to think about. When Noah stepped out the door of that ark, he was entering an entirely new world. It had to look so different from what he thought maybe it was going to be, or when he got on the ark a year earlier. How things must have changed. But yet God brought Noah to a new land. He instructed Noah throughout his entire life. This change was coming. And he instructed him what he had to do to get through this change in his life. And it was a big change, wasn't it? I mean, it involved the entire earth. It involved his family. It involved people he knew that were no longer with him. Everything changed. But listen to this. God prepared him as he built the ark. He gave him instruction. We've learned all those things. God protected him during the flood when the weather's raging outside. God provided for them throughout this year in the ark. I'm sure he blessed them with patience, gave them endurance, helped them through some tough spots when things were maybe going a little sideways on the ark. But yet God provided throughout this entire year. And now God is asking him, Noah, the things you know, the things you're familiar with, I want you to leave them now to something new, something different. Now let me ask you this question. If you were stuck on the ark and you had been there for an entire year and you know that maybe it doesn't smell so good and things like that, how many of you would have been eager to run off that boat and experience something new in your life? How many of you would have been looking forward to that? Anybody want to care to claim that today? Oh, very good. All right? Some of you would do that. You'd want to get away from that and see what else is out there in this new world. So let me ask you another question. Caitlin, if you'd go to the next slide this morning. Why is it then that when God asks or calls you to do something new or different in your spiritual life, that most of us, we want to stay in the ark, in the safe place where we know our surroundings, we know God's caring for us, but we don't dare leave the safety of the ark? How many of you would rather stay in the ark versus experience a whole new world that Noah was going to experience? And I'm talking about your spiritual life. I may be talking about your physical life. The places that God will take you, the journey that he has you on, that you don't know where it's going to go. Right? Remember the type of boats I talked about this morning? What type of a boat are you when it comes to your spiritual life? Keep that in the back of your mind this morning. But I want you to know this. The good Lord is continually calling you and I out of something or an area in our lives, and he's calling us into a new area that we've maybe never experienced before. And he will continue to always do that in your life. How many of you enjoy change? Some of you, just maybe two hands went up. You see how we are creatures of habit? Right? Yeah. I want to challenge you this morning. How many of you have lived through change? Yeah, most of you. Let me say this morning, all of you have. Whether you want to embrace it or not, you've lived through change. Things are not the same as yesterday or even a year ago. And maybe you're older and you can. Irv Zirk was this morning, we were having a conversation, and Irv got to ride in the tractor with his grandson Planton this week. And Irv said, I started with horses when my dad was still farming yet. You think he experienced change, right? Do you think he's glad that he could ride in a tractor this week versus be on the saddle of a horse, right? Yeah, good things come, don't they? And not all things are bad. Change can be good in our life as well. And I want you to think about that in your spiritual life this morning. But change is one of the hardest things we go through because we find safety in what we know, don't we? But let me challenge you with this statement this morning. Safety doesn't grow your faith. Safety might even make you stagnant in your spiritual life. Have you ever thought about that? What if Noah never left the ark? God, I know you're telling me to go, but I don't want to go out there. I don't know what that's going to be like. What if he never left? Of course, you know that the story, how it goes, but you and I might not have been here, right? What if Noah never left the ark? And here's what I want you to be aware of this morning. Living outside the ark with Jesus, living outside of maybe what you're used to knowing and God's calling you to a new place with Jesus is where you'll find life that the Bible speaks of. Life abundantly is what God says. But why do you want to stay in the ark, people? Why do you stay? You know, Noah trusted God. Noah trusted that God would walk with him and his family. Noah was close to God. He was tight with God. And I'm not saying that you're not tight with God or that you're close to God. But do you trust God in all areas of your life this morning? I have a little story for you today. This is a couple years ago in Newsweek magazine. They ran an article on faith and healing. And this is how it begins. It's a hard story. But on a quiet Saturday afternoon, a young lady by the name of Ming He, a fourth-year medical student in Dallas, came across a man that was dying in the VA hospital. He was suffering from a rare form of cancer. He was hooked up to an oxygen tank. He was an Orthodox Jew. He could barely breathe, let alone speak. There were no friends or relatives around by his bed to comfort him. He was pretty much alone. And the young student walked into the room, and the man looked at her and he said this, "Now that I am dying, I realize that I never really learned how to live." And this young student, 26 years old at the time, she had no idea how to respond. Those who know Jesus know exactly how to respond. Because they know what it's like to live life. Because they walk with the one that gives life. So here's what I want you to think about this morning. When God asks us to move out of the ark, the places of stagnation and safety that we might enjoy, this is what he asks you to do, people. Put out your hand and trust that God's going to take it and lead you to wherever he wants you to go. That's what it looks like. That's what Noah experienced when he said to Noah, "Noah, leave the ark." And Noah simply, "Okay, God, I trust you. I trust you." So Noah went out. You can go to the next slide, Caitlin. Noah trusted God, and he left the ark. And what's the first thing that Noah did? He worshiped. That was the most important thing in his life. He sacrificed, didn't he? He knew he sinned, and God gave him the command to get those clean animals, build an altar, and sacrifice to get rid of your sins. They worshiped God. And here's what I want you to know about your life and as you live life. What Noah made sure of, what you and I need to make sure of in this life is that you keep God first in all things in your life. Remember I talked about extending your hand and to trust God to take hold of it? The way you can hold on to God's hand is by keeping him first in your life. By going to him with everything that you got going on. By being in scripture, by praying to him. He's the Lord and Savior of your life. Nothing else matters. He's number one all the time. Now, I know you're not perfect, and sometimes we're going to slip and fall. Those things are part of grace. We heard the Lord's Prayer this morning. Here's another way that God says, this is how I want you to keep me first. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, right? Holy. That's what we're supposed to do with God the Father. We recognize that when we pray. Jesus said, this is what you need to do, people. Keep God first. Trust him. Just hold out your hand, and God will take it. Notice how God responded to Noah when he offered up his sacrifice. And if you have your Bible open this morning, it's verse 21. This is what it says. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. He was pleased with Noah in his actions. Because the first thing he did was go to God. That's what our life should look like. That's what he expects from you and I. You know, this verse closes with these words. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. And neither shall wind, I guess we could say, after today, right? But God is in control of everything that goes upon this earth. It's a merciful promise that he gave Noah. Did you know that that promise still lives today? We still have seasons, we still have days, we still have nights. We still have harvest. We still have planting. All those things are still given to us today. So here's what I want you to think about as you go through life. Fear God. Always. Seek his way. Always. Never man's way. Ever. Because you'll get led astray. But seek God. And all things shall be what to you? Given to you. Blessings, protection, guidance, whatever that might be for your life. That's what Noah experienced. That's what Noah understood. That's the God he served. That's the God you and I still serve today. Have trust. Send that arm out when he's calling you to do something new or something different. Go through that door when he opens it. Believe and trust in God the Father. And all of God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise that you gave Noah. Lord, you gave him a command and he listened. The obedience that this man showed was just unrelenting. May we have that kind of obedience in our own lives. May we trust you. In all areas, not just some areas of our life. May we give them all to you today. May we extend our hand and know that you're going to be right there for us. Lord, you call us into new lands. Many times throughout our life, things change. Things look different. And we need to know that that's going to be okay. That you bless us in those new lands. And so, Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.